الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار، ذلك الفوز الكبير. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري، واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected علماء، elders, and brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world and laid down two responsibilities upon our shoulders. Each and every Muslim young, old, male, female, educated, uneducated, scholar, layman, is aware of these two responsibilities. The first responsibility is Iman. And the second responsibility is Amali Salih. Success of this world and the success of the hereafter depends upon these two points only, Iman and Amali Salih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those people who accept Iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and carry out good deeds, أَعْمَالِ صَالِحَةِ, أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ, these are the people who hope for the mercy of Allah. These are the people whom the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enshroud in this world and also in the hereafter. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Indeed, those people who accept Iman and who carry out Amal Salihah, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create for them love in the hearts of mankind, in the hearts of His creatures. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised those amongst you who accept Iman and carry out Amal Salihah. What promise has Allah made upon these two items? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely make them the rulers on this earth. So if a person individually fulfills these two responsibilities, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّ, then he will enjoy his own kingdom. The whole ummah becomes negligent of Amal-e-Saliha. They have Iman, but they become negligent of Amal-e-Saliha. But one individual or a few individuals, they fulfill both responsibilities, Iman and Amal-e-Saliha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them individual kingdoms. People will revere them, people will honor them, people will love them, people will flock towards them. And if Ummah as a whole, we fulfill these two responsibilities, Allah will make us the rulers on the whole earth. The success of this world depends upon these two items, Iman and Amal Salih. Success of the hereafter, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those people who accept Iman and carry out Amal Saliha, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. These are the people of Jannah. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will remain in it forever and ever. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed, those people who accept Iman وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and carry out Amal Saliha, لَهُمْ جَنَّات, for them are gardens in paradise. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَار, under which rivers will flow. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ, this is the big success. So success in this world, success in the hereafter. Why? Because these are the best of the creation. Those who fulfill their responsibilities. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Indeed, those people who accept Iman and carry out Amal Saliha, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the best of the creation. جَزَاؤُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Their reward with their Rabb is جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ, everlasting gardens of paradise. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, under which rivers will flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, they will remain in it forever and ever. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah will be happy with them, they will be happy with Allah. Alhamdulillah. Through the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only His grace, we have Iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to value it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase it. and keep it with us till we breathe our last. Iman. Iman is with us. If a person leaves this world with Iman, Iman, belief, Iman billah, Iman bil rusul, Iman bil kutub, Iman bil malaika, Iman bil takdir, Iman. Belief in everything that was conveyed to us by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through a chain which reaches the sublime degree of tawatur. So anything and everything that has reached us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through a chain which reaches the sublime degree of tawatur, to believe in each and every item from that and to submit to it and accept it as from Allah and to accept it as it being the authority that governs our life. This is Iman. Whether a person performs 5 times salat or not, but he accepts it to be from Allah. And he accepts it as part of that authority which should govern his life. That yes, I have to perform salat and I am guilty that I am not performing salat. This is Iman. To accept it without a shadow of doubt. Iman is not only to understand and recognize. Iman is to understand, recognize, accept and submit. Abu Talib had understood and recognized Islam. He had understood and recognized the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had understood and recognized the deen of Allah as the true deen. But after understanding and recognizing the truth, he did not accept it and he did not submit to it. His heart did not submit to it. He said, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حِذَارُ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. He said, Oh my nephew, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ. I am 100% sure that the deen that you have brought, مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ, is the best deen on the surface of this earth. I have no doubt. I have understood it. I have recognized it. I know it is the only truth. But I am not prepared to accept it. I am not prepared to let go of my old religion and accept this new religion. Because of fear. Fear of my people taunting me, scolding me, teasing me. I may lose the honor that I have at the moment. لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ وَحِذَارُ مَسَبَّةٍ. If it was not for these fears, لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. You would have found me. Bow down and submit before this truth that you have bought. But I'm sorry. So Abu Talib understood. And he recognized the truth. But he is not a Muslim. He is not a believer. Why? Because he did not submit to it. He did not accept it as the authority that governed his life. He said, no, I will carry on with my religion. Alhamdulillah, we have Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been very kind that without our deserving and without any effort on our part, He has granted us the greatest ni'mat that a person can have. Greatest famous that a person, Iman. So Iman we have. We have understood Iman. We have accepted Iman. We have Iman. Now the second item, Amale Saliha. That is our second responsibility. We have accepted Iman. Now to carry out Amale Saliha. We need to understand
the term A'mal Saliha. This is the theme of my talk today. A'mal Saliha. What are A'mal Saliha? What is Wa'amilu Salihat? What is A'mal Saleh? What is good deeds? Because majority of the Muslims don't know. I'm sorry to say. Majority of the Muslims don't know what is the meaning of good deeds, what is the meaning of A'mal-e Saliha. And if we don't know, how can we carry out this responsibility? For success in this world and for success in the hereafter, both are necessary. Or shall I rephrase it? For success of this world and for the success of the hereafter, we need Iman. And for guaranteed success of this world and guaranteed success of the hereafter, we need Iman and A'mal-e Saliha. So you have a person who has Iman only and no A'mal-e Saliha at all. No A'mal-e Saliha, Iman only, no A'mal-e Saliha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may grant him peace of mind and tranquility of the heart, and may not. Peace of mind in this world and tranquility of the heart is not guaranteed only on Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of death may grant him death with Iman, may not. Only Iman does not guarantee death with Iman. Now this person departs with Iman, but no A'mal-e Saliha or very less A'mal-e Saliha. His evil deeds outweigh his good deeds. Now he's gone into the grave. So he has Iman but not A'mal-e Saliha. He has not carried out the second responsibility. Allah may grant him a garden from the gardens of paradise in the grave, or it could be a ditch from the ditches of Jahannam. Now he goes in the hereafter. The day of reckoning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may grant him his book of deeds in his right hand and make Kul Sirat easy for him and enter him into Jannah without him having to go in the fire of Jahannam. And there is also that possibility that he will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam according to the level of his sinful activities. And one day Allah will grant him entry into Jannah. So Iman guarantees only one thing: a definite entry into Jannah sooner or later. Iman does not guarantee peace of mind, tranquility of the heart in this world. Iman does not guarantee death with Iman. Iman does not guarantee Rawzatum min Riyadil Jannah in the grave. Iman does not guarantee shade under the throne of Allah or mercy of Allah. Iman does not guarantee an easy reckoning. Iman does not guarantee easy Kul Sirat. Iman does not guarantee safety from Jahannam. No. Iman only guarantees one thing: sooner or later, if a person goes from this world with Iman, sooner or later this person will go in Jannah. This is the only guarantee that Iman gives. You have a second mu'min. He has Iman and also A'mal-e Saliha. Peace of mind and tranquility of the heart guaranteed. With or without resources, Iman and A'mal-e Saliha, peace of mind, tranquility of the heart guaranteed, with or without resources. No Iman, no A'mal-e Saliha, or Iman, no A'mal-e Saliha. Despite having all the resources of peace of mind and tranquility of the heart, peace of mind and tranquility of the heart is not guaranteed. So you may have a person who is the richest man in Barbados, He has all the resources of peace of mind and tranquility of the heart. Good wife, good children, wealth, good house, good job, good income, good health, everything is there. But no guarantee. Without iman and without amal-e-saliha or without amal-e-saliha. If Allah wills, Allah will grant it. If not, he will not be able to acquire peace of mind, tranquility of the heart from anywhere. Nowhere, he cannot buy this from anywhere. It is only amal-e-saliha that guarantees peace of mind and tranquility of the heart. Is a wife a problem for you? No. Children? No. Income? No. Are you in debt? No. Are you sick? Ill? No. Is somebody threatening you? No. So what's the problem? I don't know. I can't sleep. I don't know. I can't sleep. I don't know. I feel scared. There is no peace. The doctors can't diagnose. Wise people cannot advise. Because amal-e-saliha is missing. So now the key with iman is amal-e-saliha. We need to understand what amal-e-saliha are. What is amal-e-salih? What are good deeds? What is the meaning of good deeds? Because it is a technical term. We need to understand this technical term. What is amal-e-salih that will guarantee us peace in this world, tranquility in this world, death with husn-e-khatima? Comfort in the grave. Easy reckoning on the day of Qiyamah. Easy pull sirat and direct entry into Jannah without having to go in Jahannam. And upon entry, first the Malaika will say, Salamun alaykum, tibtum fadkhuluha khalidin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Assalamu alaykum ya ahlal Jannah. Iman and amal-e-saliha. We need to understand what amal-e-saliha is. If we understand it today, and thereafter, if we strive to decorate and adorn our lives with amal-e-saliha, we will be worthy of all these pleasures. Peace of mind, tranquility of the heart, husn-e-khatima, comfort in the grave, easy reckoning, easy pull sirat and jannah. Forever and ever with the anbiya, the siddiqin, the shuhada and the salihin. There are two parts to amal-e-saliha. There are two parts to amal-e-saliha, or there are two levels of amal-e-saliha. Level number one, to stay away from everything that displeases Allah. This is level one of amal-e-saliha. This is the necessary level. To stay away from everything that displeases Allah. What does that cover? It covers farz, it covers wajib, it covers sunnah muakkada, it covers haram, and it covers makruh tahrimi. Because if you carry out something which is haram, Allah becomes unhappy. So stay away from haram. If you carry out makruh tahrimi, Allah becomes unhappy. So stay away from makruh tahrimi. If you miss a fard, Allah becomes unhappy. So stay away from missing fard. If you miss a wajib, Allah becomes unhappy. So stay away from missing wajib. If you miss sunnah muakkada, Allah becomes unhappy. So stay away from missing sunnah muakkada. This is the first level of amal-e-saleh. To stay away from that which makes Allah unhappy. And level number two, to do that which makes Allah happy. This covers sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahab and nafl. Because if you don't carry out sunnah ghair muakkada, Allah will not become unhappy. But if you carry it out, Allah will become happy. If you don't carry out a mustahab or a nafl, Allah will not become unhappy. But if you carry it out, Allah will become happy. So the first level of amal salih is to stay away from that which makes Allah unhappy. And the second level of amal salih is to do that which makes Allah happy. All the promises that we find in the glorious Quran regarding amal-e-saleh, iman and amal-e-saleh, some of which I have mentioned to you, are dependent upon the first category, the first level. Any person who abstains from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be worthy of all those benefits, all those virtues. And if he also engages in the second level of amal salih, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him even more. The person who carries out the first level of amal salih will become the aashiq of Allah. And the person who carries out the first level and the second level, he will become the mahbub of Allah. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبْتُ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيَّ وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. So first level makes a person the aashiq of Allah. And the second level makes him the beloved of Allah, the mahbub of Allah. So iman, innal ladina amanu, iman. Iman makes a person a common friend of Allah, an ordinary friend of Allah. Thereafter, the first level of amal saliha makes him a special loving friend of Allah. And if he also engages in the second level of amal saleh, he becomes the special beloved friend of Allah. And when he becomes a special beloved friend of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Hadith Qudsi, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ, when he becomes beloved to me, when I begin to love him, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, I become his ears with which he hears. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهَا, I become his eyes with which he observes. وَيَدَهُ الَّذِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا, I become his hands with which he touches. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا, I become his feet with which he walks. That means, I supervise each and every action of his. He will not be able to do any wrong. Now he will not find amal saliha difficult. And because amal saliha becomes very easy for him, he will excel to such height that the people who will come after him, when they will hear of the quantity of his amal-e-saliha, will not be able to understand how he was able to perform it in 24 hours. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, when he passed away, in the room he passed away, it is recorded that in that room he had completed 7,000 Quran. In that room, not outside, including outside, in the masjid, outside, no, only in that room, 7,000. And Imam Shu'bah ibn Hajjaj, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great muhaddith, Allahu Akbar, who falls in the category of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, one of the teachers of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Shu'bah ibn Hajjaj, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he completed throughout his life 24,000 Quran. So the first level of amal saleh was in his life. Second level of amal saleh was so high that only one amal, Quran, recitation of the Quran 24,000 times. And their recitation was not like yours and mine. With tajweed, with tarteel, with tadabbur, understanding the meaning. taking effect from the Quran whilst reciting. And with these amal-e-saliha of two levels, the khidmat of hadith, khidmat of fiqh, teaching and learning, traveling for hajj, so many other things. Only one thing. Only one thing. Quran, tilawat 24,000 times. A very pious woman, Aisha bint Imran, rahimahallahu ta'ala. When she died, she had completed the Quran 1,520 times. This is the nafl level of amal-e-saliha, not the necessary level of amal-e-saliha. Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahimahullahu ta'ala, it was his habit to complete the whole Quran every night in Salat. Whole Quran in Salat, it was his habit. Tamim Dari rahimahullahu ta'ala, it was his habit also. One day, somebody met Sa'id ibn Jubair rahimahullahu ta'ala and he started conversing with him, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, how are you? And he said that the words while communicating were not clear and he felt as if he was suffering from stroke or something. The tongue had become very heavy. So he said, Shaykh, are you okay? Is everything? He said, yes, everything is okay. But I cannot understand what you are saying very clearly. Your speech is not clear. Are you sure you are not suffering from stroke? He said, no, I'm fine. There is nothing wrong with me. But when he persisted with his question, he said, actually, I have recited last night more Quran than my regular recitation. That has affected my tongue. My tongue has become tired. So he said, your regular ma'amul is 30 juz. So how much did you recite last night? He said, 75 juz. 2.5 Quran in one night. What is our condition? As far as the necessary amal-e-saleh is concerned, it is divided into four categories. Ibadat, Muamalat, Muasharat, Husn-e-Akhlaq. Husn-e-Akhlaq, 99% of us don't know what Husn-e-Akhlaq means. If we are asked, what is Husn-e-Akhlaq? Politeness, good character, you know, meet people with a nice smile. If they come to your house, offer them a cup of tea, meal, that is Husn-e-Akhlaq. 99% of the Muslim Ummah today don't know what Husn-e-Akhlaq is. And this is one of the branches of the Sharia. This is a necessary amal-e-saleh, which we are not aware of. Husn-e-Akhlaq. Number two, Muasharat. Muasharat. 99% don't know what Muasharat is. Number three, Muamalat. 99% don't know what Muamalat is. So 75% of necessary amal-e-saleh is gone from our life. Necessary amal-e-saleh. We are left with ibadat only. We know ibadat. We know salat. We know zakat. We know hajj. We know sawm. How much is it according to sunnah? And how much is it full of ikhlas? So if we start subtracting from 25% also, what are we left with? And despite that, we feel proud of ourselves that I am very, very religious. My friends, we are all in the same boat. I am also in need of this discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first grant me the tawfiq to understand the importance of this topic. Importance of this topic. I can also make this gathering very interesting by relating to you many good stories. But that is not the objective of our gathering here today. The objective of our gathering is to understand the objective of our life, the purpose of our life, to understand where we are going wrong, to understand that we will suffer in the hereafter if we don't change ourselves, if we don't change our focus, if we don't change the direction of our energies. Those of us who are not concerned about deen at all, whenever we feel like coming to the masjid, we come. Whenever we feel like not coming, we don't come. No interest in lectures of the ulama, no interest in acquiring ilm, reading books. We should be very much worried. And those of us who have some concern, those of us who are associated to da'wah and tabligh work, those of us who are associated to mashayikh and ulama, those of us who are engaged in deeni activities, madaris, teaching, learning, even we need to question ourselves that I have been in da'wah and tabligh for so many years. I have associated myself with a particular shaykh for so many years and I am taking instructions from him. I regularly go and meet him. I am teaching in a madrasa, I am learning in a madrasa. In the last 5 years, in the last 10 years, in the last 15 years, in the last 20 years, what progress have I made as far as Amal-e Saleh is concerned? We need to ask this question and answer it for our own sake, not for anybody else's sake. And why should I look at Maulana or Maulana Aziz? Why should I look at you? I am judge and jury for myself. I need to assess my life and I need to reach a conclusion regarding myself, and thereafter make a firm resolution that before I breathe my last, I have to do something. These people, all the big names that we hear, Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Shaykh Junaid Baghdadi, Shaykh Waliullah, Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Hadrat Abu Bakr, Hadrat Umar, Hadrat Usman, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, all these people who reached the heights of ilm, heights of amal, heights of wilayat, heights of taqwa, heights of fame, heights of success. Each of them had the first level of Amal-e-Saleh 100%. And part of that first level is that if we do make a mistake in carrying out this first level, that means instead of making sure that Allah does not become unhappy, if Allah does become unhappy, then part of this first category is to make tawbah immediately. This is also Amal-e-Saleh, to make tawbah. And after this level, the second level, Allahu Akbar, which is not necessary, sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahab, they reach heights, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Layth ibn Sa'ad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the Shaykh of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, a great muhaddith, Layth ibn Sa'ad rahimahullah ta'ala, his annual income in those days was 80,000. Throughout his life, his annual income was 80,000. His father may have been very rich. He may have left a lot of wealth, like Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's father. He left a lot of wealth, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's father. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala used to give that wealth to businessmen in partnership. He was a sleeping partner and he would take profit. And 24 hours engaged in the khidmat of deen, khidmat of hadith. So Layth ibn Sa'ad rahimahullahu ta'ala was a very wealthy man, a muhaddith of his time. But he did not have only ilm. All these great personalities who reached the heights of ilm, they reached the heights of amal also. The same like Ibn Sa'd rahimahullah ta'ala, whose income was 80,000 per annum throughout his life, never did zakat become fard upon him. Because he would spend it away in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day, 360 masakeen used to come on his dastarkhan. He would serve 360 masakeen daily and feed them. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Talha, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, from the Ashara-e Mubashara, the 10 Sahaba, radiyallahu anhu majmain, who were given the glad tidings of Jannah in one gathering. They were all sat there, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah. All of them were given glad tidings. There were so many other Sahaba who were also given glad tidings. But this group is known as Ashara-e Mubashara because they were given glad tidings in one gathering. A very, very pious group. Umar radiallahu anhu, Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if shaitan is treading a path and if he sees Umar on that same path, he will change his path. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِ نَبِيٌ لَكَانَ عُمَرٌ. After me there is no Nabi to come. But if there was to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah would not have sent him in my ummah. He would have left him until 500, 600 years and he would have sent him as a Nabi. كَانَ فِي مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ مُحَدَّثُونَ. In every ummah before you, there were people who were inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ يَقُ فِي أُمَّتِ أَحَدْ فَأُمَرْ. In my ummah it is Umar. Umar radiyallahu ta'ala. Talha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that one night I saw Umar radiyallahu anhu enter a house at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. I saw him enter a house. I was surprised. Amirul Mu'mineen entering a house at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and in this house only a lady lives, nobody else. What is Umar doing in this house at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock? The level of necessary amal saleh and the level of optional amal saleh, I'm trying to explain to you. Umar radiallahu anhu is seen entering a house where only one woman resides. Talha radiallahu anhu saw Amirul Mu'minin enter this house. And it was a time of feeding for each other. So this was a matter of deen. Is Umar married to this woman secretly and he is spending time with him? Or is he faltering? Amirul Mu'minin, but human. So he waited. After 1 hour, 1.5 hour, Umar left. He entered the house. Talha ibn Ubaidullah, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Salaamu alaikum, wa alaikum as-salam. Any male in the house? No. Nobody. No father, no husband, no son, no, nobody. Anybody else? No, I am alone. Who was that man who had just come here? She said, I don't know. I don't know who he was. Why did he come here? Oh, he comes every night. Why does he come every night? I am a sick woman. I cannot see. I cannot see, I cannot function. This man comes every night, he cleans my house, he fills my utensils with water, he milks my goat, he cooks food for me, and he leaves. I don't know who he is. Look at the level of the nafal amal-e-saleh. An Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is not during the time of Abu Bakr. This is during the time of Israel. Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala says, upon this I said to myself, woe to you, O Talha. You are in search of the faults of Umar, and Umar is in search of his creator and his Jannah. My friends, let us make a firm resolution that from today we will concentrate on this topic, Amal-e-Saleh. Amal-e-Saleh. First, let us assess ourselves. Where are we going wrong as far as the... Because first category is very important. Everything depends on the first category. The second category is important too. I am not saying that if you are carrying out certain amal from the second category and you are weak in the first category, you leave everything from the second category and you concentrate only... No. The second category will bring barakat and spiritual stamina in your heart, which will make it easy for you to carry out those amal which belong to the first category. Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he was appointed a qadi, chief justice. A person was brought to him, he was owing somebody money. So Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala asked him, do you owe him the money that he is claiming? He said, yes, I owe him money. He said, make the payment. He said, I haven't got any money. He said, go to jail. Pay money or jail. So he started crying and weeping. So Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala had pity for him. And Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala in the court said to one of his associates, one of the workers there, that pay him on my behalf. And he said, now pay him. And he said, go. This was not amal-e-saleh of the first level. Second level, it was nafl, optional. After a week or so, a similar incident took place and the same thing happened. After a month or so, a similar incident took place and the same thing happened. So now people began taking money as loan from people. They started to refuse to pay. And when they were brought to the qazi, they would accept it and say, I can't pay, I'm poor. And Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, despite knowing that some of them are cheating him, until he breathed his last, he continued to do the same. Ibrahim an-Nakhai rahimahullah ta'ala. These are just some of the incidents that are coming to mind now. Ibrahim an-Nakhai rahimahullah ta'ala, a great muhaddis and a great faqih. The fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi reaches us through the chain of Ibrahim an-Nakhai rahimahullah ta'ala. So before Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala was Ibrahim an-Nakhai rahimahullah ta'ala, a great faqih, muhaddis as well, great alim. If I can remember correctly, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf became unhappy with him for some reason. And a arrest warrant was issued. By mistake, the police arrested Ibrahim Taymi. Again, another great scholar of the time, but junior to Ibrahim an-Nakhai rahimahullah. Imam an-Nakhai rahimahullah was a very big sheikh. And Ibrahim Taymi rahimahullah ta'ala, in comparison to our time, was a very great sheikh. But in comparison to Ibrahim an-Nakhai rahimahullah ta'ala, not of that stature. So they arrested him and they put him in jail. And the jail, it had only four walls, no roof. And he was being tortured in that jail. It is said that his mother went to see him in the jail after 3 days, and his condition had changed so much that the mother could not recognize her own son. This is how much he was being tortured. And when the arrest warrant was issued, all the ulama knew that this arrest warrant was for Ibrahim and Akhay. Ibrahim Taimi also knew. But Ibrahim Taimi rahimahullah ta'ala would not say that I am not Ibrahim and Akhay, I am Ibrahim Taimi. He pretended to be Ibrahim and Akhay. When the mother saw the son, she had pity for him and she started weeping and crying. And she said, "Oh my son, why don't you tell them you are not Ibrahim al-Khayy and you are Ibrahim Sayyidi?" Now what he was doing was not compulsory for him. It was not farz. This was amal saleh that belonged to the nafla and optional category. He said very secretly to his mom, "Mom, if I tell them I am not Ibrahim al-Khayy and I am Ibrahim Sayyidi, I will be released and Ibrahim and Nakhay will be arrested. And the Ummah can benefit more from Ibrahim and Nakhay than Ibrahim and Taimi. It is for this reason I am giving this sacrifice. If Ibrahim and Nakhay is arrested and if he is put in jail, the Ummah will be deprived. And if he is assassinated, if he is killed, the Ummah will be deprived forever. I will not be able to benefit Ummah to that level. So I will remain in the jail, I will give my life away, and I will pretend to be Ibrahim and Nakhay in order to safeguard Ibrahim and Nakhay so the Ummah is not deprived of the fuyuz and of the ulum of Ibrahim and Nakhay rahimahullah ta'ala." And it is recorded in books of history, and we feel proud of such great personalities who are so selfless that Ibrahim Taimi rahimahullah ta'ala remained in that torture for days. And he eventually passed away, and the authorities actually believed that this was Ibrahim al-Nakhay rahimahullah ta'ala who was passed away. When it comes to salat, alhamdulillah, we have amal-e-saleh to a certain extent. When it comes to zakat, we are amal-e-saleh. When it comes to udhiyah, qurbani, sacrifice, amal-e-saleh. When it comes to fasting in the month of Ramadan, amal-e-saleh. But what about muasharat? Husn-e-akhlaq? Feeling for each other? We entertain jealousy, hasad, hatred. We cannot see the progress of anybody. The nature of the ummah's individuals is that we can only see bad in people, not any good. Not any good. It is very easy to pick out faults, but you need courage to praise somebody. To say that, no, he's got good quality, alhamdulillah. Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu. One who recognizes his faults, he has recognized the Creator. We need to look at our faults, not the faults of the others. Because we are responsible for ourselves first. When we go to the hospital, we don't worry about the illnesses of the other people lying in bed. We worry about our illnesses and we record our illnesses before the doctor comes. And we make sure that we tell him everything. We are always looking at faults of others. There is no effort on the part of the ummah to try and bridge the gap that lies between the two of us. There is a difference of opinion between me and Maulana. Okay, fine. There is a difference, but there are so many common grounds where we unite. 95-99% of the items we agree upon. There is only 1%, 2% of the items where we disagree. Those 95-98% should create a bond of love, strengthen that bond of love between the two of us, and we should be able to sit down on the table and discuss our differences. We should learn to agree to disagree as long as we remain within the limits of Sharia. But no, we are always jealous, jealous, jealous. It's not deen we are concerned about. It's not the future of the ummah or our generations. We are, all these are excuses. I'm only saying this because I'm worried about deen. I'm worried about people going astray. That's why I have nothing against him. I love him. I like him. Oh, I admire him. He's a good person. No, we have hasad, jealousy. And it is because of this hasad and jealousy we look for faults. We can only see goodness in ourselves. And we can only see evil in other people. Bahadur Shah Zafar, the last emperor of the Mughal Empire, he said, Nathi hal ki jab hame apni khabar, rahe dekhte logon ke aibo hunar. For as long as I was unaware of myself, I continued to look at the good qualities and the bad qualities of other people. Because I was unaware of myself. I didn't know I was full of faults. So I enjoyed looking at other people and assessing them. Oh, he's like this, he's like this, he's like this, mashallah. But will ruin everything. Nathi hal ki jab hame apni khabar rahe dekhte logon ke aibo hunar, padi apni buraiyon par jo nazar. One day Allah granted me the tawfiq and I began assessing my life and looking for my faults. When I looked at my faults, padi apni buraiyon par jo nazar, to jahan mein koi bura na raha, there was no one more worse and wretched than me. We have no love for each other. We have no feeling for each other. Nothing worries us. If we see a person in poverty, if we see a person hungry, it doesn't worry us. In fact, we have two categories, poor and rich. Poor and rich. Rich are comfortable and happy. Poor are suffering, and not only suffering, the rich look down upon them. The rich look down upon them. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the poor on the day of Qiyamah will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in his prayer, Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina. Oh Allah, keep me alive as a miskin. Wa amitni miskina. Oh Allah, when I die from this world, take me as a miskin. Wahshurni fi zumratil masakin. And on the day of Qiyamah, when you resurrect me with the masakin, not with the rich people. Wealth is a great ne'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is through wealth, a person is able to acquire high status in Jannah. But if wealth brings pride, if wealth brings arrogance, and if because of wealth we look down upon those people who have so many other good qualities but not wealth, then this wealth will take us in the fire of Jahannam. Humbleness is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgiveness is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to learn to forgive. We need to learn to forget. If we make an error, we need to learn to accept that mistake and ask for forgiveness. Brother, I'm sorry. Don't try to justify your mistake. And if our brother makes a mistake, we need to learn to forgive him and forget that mistake and don't wait for his forgiveness. If he does come and say, please forgive me, I was wrong yesterday. Don't embarrass me. What? You are my Muslim brother, you won't make mistakes. Don't remind me again of that incident, it's already forgotten. Sheikh Shibli rahimahullah ta'ala, the great saint. One day he was disturbed by people. They may have treated him in such a way that he was hurt very much. And out of grief and anxiety, he left the city, he left the town, he went in the field. And because he was tired, he sat down under a date palm. And he reclined against the trunk of the date palm. And he was very much in grief. Now he was the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to comfort him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the date palm the the qudra to speak, the ability to speak. So the date palm said, Ya Shibli, kun misli. He said, oh Shibli, become like me. So Shibli started listening. This date palm is saying, oh Shibli, become like me. What does it mean that become like me? Ya Shibli, kun misli. Oh Shibli, become like me. Innahum yarmunani bil ahjar. People throw stones upon me. Wa ana armihim bil asmar. And in return, I throw fruits upon them. Become like me. When people throw stones at you, throw fruits at them. All these great qualities, all these great akhlaq that our pious predecessors had, how did they come in their life? Because number one, they exerted every effort to bring the amal saliha of level 1 in their lives, thereafter level 2, and slowly, their hearts were transformed. Their hearts became pure, completely pure. Their hearts became enlightened with the noor of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, noor of taqwa, noor of ilm, noor of amal. There was only one thought after that, Allah, how can I please Allah? Everybody I am dealing with, they are the servants of Allah, they are the creatures of Allah. Al-khalqu iyalullah, the makhluk are the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Makhluk, not only humans, every makhluk is the creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَىٰ عِيَالِهِ. The makhluk is the iyal of Allah, iyal, family of Allah. Family, that means Allah is responsible for them. And from among the creatures, the best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that who is kind to the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would like to conclude, my friend. It is late and all of you must be tired. Let us make some resolution. We attend conferences, we attend ijtima'at, we attend jalsas, we attend gatherings, we attend seminars, we attend majalis. Listen. We listen only for entertainment, unfortunately. Only for entertainment, enjoyment. Enjoyment. And if there is any level of ikhlas, then number two, we listen with the intention of earning reward. That is as far as we go. If I spend 1 hour, 2 hours in a dini religious gathering, I will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is no talab, if we don't go to a gathering with talab in order to benefit from religious lectures, in order to benefit from ilmi gatherings, from academic gatherings, in order to transform our lives, we have to have certain things when we go. Number one, azmat, reverence for the ilm that is being imparted. Mahabbat, love for the ilm that is being imparted. Harun Rashid, he came to Madina Munawwara and he wrote a letter to Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, Khalifa of his time. I have come to Madina Munawwara from Baghdad, and I would like to hear a hadith from you. Ijazah in hadith. So can you please let me know when you are able to come to my palace, my place of residence in Madina Munawwara, so I can be ready for you. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala replied, and he said, Al-ilmu la yati yuta ilayhi. Ilm does not go anywhere. You have to come to ilm. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi knew, if I was to go to Harun Rashid's place, the ahadith would be transmitted. But Harun Rashid would not acquire the benefit, because there is no azma, no reverence. Al-ilmu la yati, ilm does not come. You have to go to ilm. Harun Rashid came to Masjid Nabawi. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala on his time came in Masjid Nabawi. Hundreds of students are sitting in Masjid Nabawi. And Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala used to throw a glance upon the gathering before starting his dars. And he saw somebody leaning against the wall, against the pillar of Masjid Nabawi. He looked at him very carefully and he realized it was Amirul Mumineen. In the gathering he said, Ya Amirul Mumineen, O Amirul Mumineen, sit respectfully. Inna min ijlali Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ijlal al-ilm. From reverence to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to revere that ilm which he has grown. What is our condition today? We try to first get the seats against the wall. Even the healthy and young people, even during talks, we talk with each other. Where is reverence? Where is mahabbah for that ilm that which we are hearing? Ulama are lecturing, durus e Quran are being imparted. We just walk away, we can stand outside the masjid and talk. We have no time. Where is reverence? Where is azmah? Where is mahabbat for the ilm? So when we go into gatherings, we have to have reverence and mahabbat. Number three, we need to convince ourselves that I am muhtaj, I am in need of what is about to be said. And number four, talab, want. I am muhtaj and I want it. I want it because I am in need. One is I want it. I say to Dr. Nagdi, that doctor, I want a glass of water. So I have talab. But I don't feel muhtaj. I feel within myself that if he gives me a glass of water, fine. If he says no, I'll ask his son. So I feel talab is there, but I don't feel that I am muhtaj, I am in need. But if I know that this is the only person who can quench my thirst, so the talab is there and needfulness is there as well. Now, the nature will change of this person. He will have azmah, he will have adab, he will have everything that is required to acquire ilm. And thereafter, a person listens very carefully and he uses that as a mirror for his life. And he sees his life in the mirror of the talk. And what he finds good in his life, he praises Allah. And what he finds bad in his life, he makes a firm resolution there and then that, oh Allah, I am repenting, I will change this, I will rectify myself. Then these conferences, our istima'at and our seminars and our dini gatherings are successful. Otherwise, over and over again, we listen to the gatherings, but the life is not changing. There is no change in life. Same salat that we have been seeing for the past 15 years, 20 years. Same mentality. So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, we will bring the first level of amal saleh in our life and that will be our goal from today. And with that, we will also continue with whatever second level of amal saleh is in our lives, alhamdulillah, because that will benefit the first level. And what is the first level? We will stay away from everything that displeases Allah. This covers farz, wajib, sunnah muakkada, makruh tahrimi and haram. And we will try to carry out as much as possible those things which please Allah. This will cover sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahab and nafl. If we are able to do this, then just as we are united here today in this conference, organized by Islamic Academy of Barbados, inshallah we will see ourselves united in Jannatul Firdaus with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. And I will end with two very important notes. One is, create unity. Unity. Don't sacrifice unity for anything. As soon as unity goes, barakah goes. The committees of the masajid, they quarrel and wrangle over petty issues. When you listen to the details of the issue, it worries you. These are the leaders of the ummah. These are the leaders of the masajid who wrangle over small issues. And they cannot come to terms with what is happening. They cannot unite their hearts. They will have a term of 4 years, 5 years. And in those 4 or 5 years, the two parties will remain two. They will never be able to unite. We are divided on villages. He comes from that village, I come from this village, this family, that family. These people don't think like this. The Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi mujmain, to them the color did not matter. The family background did not matter. Only one thing mattered. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honored amongst you is the one with most taqwa. We become a member of the committee, we serve the masajid, we serve the madaris, we serve the schools, we engage in dini activities, dawah and tabligh, for what? To make our hereafter better. That is the goal. But during the course of our term, we spoil our hereafter, we destroy our hereafter. Try to resolve differences. Try to find reasons for unity and not reasons for disunity. If there are 5 reasons for disunity and 1 reason for unity, use that 1 reason to unite. And number 2, think about your future generation. Think about your future generation. Only Allah knows. I am now 50, 51, whether I am able to travel again to the Barbados or not. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to meet again and again for His pleasure. In this world and also in the hereafter, here and in Leicester, in Haramain Sharifain, wherever possible. But only Allah knows. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that the culture of Madina Munawwara during his time was that at the age of 40, a person used to wrap up his bedding. And he used to say, now the time to sleep has gone. And we say, life begins at 40. They used to wrap up their bedding at the age of 40. And this way the time to sleep is gone. Now we will sleep wherever possible. Be concerned about your future generation. Fairy, 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 fairy. All the time, fairy, fairy. Money, money, money. Where are you going to take this money? You have no time for your children. You have no time for your children. Give love to your children. Give time to your children. It is human nature to look for love and respect. When children don't find love and respect in their homes, they go out of their homes looking for love and respect. And they end up in wrong companies. To us, our money is more important than our children. Give them time. Just as we give time for, keep time for sleep, time for food, keep some time for your children. Make them your friends. Give them love. Look after them. In Makatib, the level of education should be high. The asatiza should be concerned and worried about their future, because the environment we live in is not Islamic environment. They spend time in non-Muslim environment when they are at school, at college, at university. The management must support the asatiza. The asatiza must support the management. The mahol of the masjid should become better. With dawah and tabligh activities, we need more concentration on ilm also. Ilm is very necessary. If ilm is unauthentic, deen will be unauthentic. If ilm is authentic, deen will become authentic. If ilm is naqis, deen will be naqis. And if ilm is kamil, deen will be kamil. And try to better the school that we have. And we should have a very large school that caters for every Muslim child, or we should have more than one school that caters for every Muslim child. Like we have more than one maktab that caters for every Muslim child. We should have good schools where good education, education of high standard is given, and also the iman and the deen of our children are safeguarded. Worry about yourself, worry about your future generation. We also live in
similar mahol, similar environment. Our concerns are the same as your concern, and we are reminding each other. We are all in need of remind. Wadakkir fa inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'minin. Remind each other so that this reminding benefits the mu'minin. With sincerity and with a pure and clean intention, I have mentioned these words, and I hope that you will also give place to these words in your heart with the same sincerity and same pure intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the success of this world and the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور إليك ربنا فحببنا وفي أنفسنا لك ربنا فذللنا وفي أعين الناس فعظمنا ومن سيء الأخلاق فجنبنا وعلى صالح الأخلاق فقومنا وعلى الصراط المستقيم فثبتنا وعلى الأعداء أعدائك أعداء الإسلام فانصرنا اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم امكر لنا ولا تمكر علينا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا ولا يخافك فينا اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك الصديقين اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت عالم به منا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم اهدنا بفضلك فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على النبي الأمي الكريم اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم أصلح بين قلوب اللهم أصلح بين ذات المسلمين اللهم أصلح بين ذات المسلمين اللهم أصلح بين ذات المسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق, اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق, اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق, اللهم وحد صفوفهم, اللهم وحد صفوفهم, اللهم وحد صفوفهم, اللهم انقذ اخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الاقصى المبارك, واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين. اللهم باعد بيننا وبين خطايانا كما بعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم اغسل عنا خطايانا بماء الثلج والبرد. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل حبك احب الاشياء الينا, اللهم اجعل حبك احب الينا من انفسنا ومن اهلنا ومن الماء البارد. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب رسولك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. اللهم بارك لنا فيما اعطيتنا وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت لنا. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك, ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك, ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد, ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها, وخير أعمارنا أواخرها, وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا, اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا, اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين, وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. او ارحم الراحمين, او دي موست مرسيفول ون, او دي موست فورجيفينغ, فورجيف اور سينز, فورجيف اور ماينر سينز, فورجيف اور ميجر سينز, فورجيف ذا سينز اوف اور پیرنٹس, فورجيف ذا سينز اوف اور فاميليز, فورجيف ذا سينز اوف اور ریلیٹیوز, فورجيف ذا سينز اوف اور اسوسییٹس اینڈ فرینڈز, فورجيف ذا سينز اوف ذا ہول امہ. او ارحم الراحمین, فورجيف ذا سينز اوف ذا ہول امہ. او ارحم الراحمین, فورجيف ذا سينز اوف ذا ہول امہ. O Arhamur Rahimin, enlighten our hearts with your love. Enlighten our hearts with the love of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Enlighten your hearts with your ma'rifat. Enlighten our hearts with your yaqeen, with iman. Enlighten our hearts with good characters. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us the tawfiq to remain steadfast on the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us the tawfiq to make preparations before we depart from this world. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us Husn-e-Khatima. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us Husn-e-Khatima. Grant us Husn-e-Khatima. Save us from the punishment of the grave. Save us from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. Grant us shade under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. Ilaha al-Alameen, grant us easy reckoning. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us entry into Jannah without any reckoning. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us our book of deeds in our right hand. Make Purchirat easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimin, save us from your anger. O Arhamur Rahimin, save us from your displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimin, save us from your wrath and your curse. O Arhamur Rahimin, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from the punishment of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimin, have mercy upon us. O Arhamur Rahimin, have mercy upon us. Grant us the tawfiq to do that which pleases you, and save us from everything that displeases you. O Arhamur Rahimin, all the energies, all the resources that you have granted us to acquire Jannah and your pleasure, O Arhamur Rahimin, we are utilizing all those energies and all those resources in acquiring Jahannam and your wrath and your anger. O Arhamur Rahimin, every second we
our enemy, your enemy, Shaitan, and we are displeasing you. The greatest benefactor, wherever Rahimin, forgive us. Forgive our shortcoming, wherever Rahimin, we accept our guilt, wherever Rahimin, we accept our crime, wherever Rahimin, we are definitely guilty, but wherever Rahimin, you are most forgiving, you are most merciful. If you were not to forgive us, where will we go? Who would grant us refuge? Wherever Rahimin, save us from the punishment of this world and the hereafter. Save us from the humiliation of this world and the hereafter. Wherever Rahimin, make our aqaid sound. Wherever Rahimin, make our ibadat according to the method of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with complete sincerity. Wherever Rahimin, grant us the tawfiq to concentrate on our muamalat, on our muasharat. Muasharat, enlighten our hearts with husni akhlaq. Wherever Rahimin, have mercy upon us. Oh Hannan, have mercy upon us. Oh Hayy, oh Qayyum, have mercy upon us. Ya Hayy, ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghiis. Ya Hayy, ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghiis. Ya Hayy, ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghiis. Wherever Rahimin, purify our souls. Wherever Rahimin, rectify our lives. Wherever Rahimin, reform our characters. Wherever Rahimin, unite our hearts. Unite the hearts of the Ummah. Wherever Rahimin, unite the hearts of the Ummah. Wherever Rahimin, unite the hearts of the Ummah. Wherever Rahimin, unite us on hearts. Wherever Rahimin, create feelings in our hearts for each other. Wherever Rahimin, make us good Muslims, make us complete Muslims. Wherever Rahimin, make us those who love you and make us your beloved. Wherever Rahimin, grant us the tawfiq to read the Quran and understand the Quran and follow the Quran. Wherever Rahimin, grant us the tawfiq to acquire ilm through authentic reliable sources and to practice and propagate the same. Wherever Rahimin, accept this conference, accept the Islamic Academy of Barbados, accept Mufti Mahmood and all his associates, accept all those people who have made this conference possible, including the attendees. Wherever Rahimin, grant acceptance to each and every person who is here. Grant acceptance to all our associates. Grant acceptance to all those who have asked us to make dua for them. Grant acceptance to all those who expect us to make dua for them. Grant acceptance to all those whose right is upon us that we make dua for them. O Arhamur Rahimin, every good that your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us. And every evil from which your Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seeked your refuge, grant us refuge from it. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us the good of this world and the hereafter, and save us from the evil of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us whatever we have asked from you, and save us from every evil of this world and the hereafter. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك ونبيك، ونعوذ بك من شر ما عاد به عبدك ونبيك. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا ورشدا. اللهم كل خير لكل مسلم ومسلمة. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.